Welcome to Managing Tech Millions, the podcast for tech professionals navigating the journey from high earners to confident wealth managers. Struggling with equity compensation decisions? Are you curious about turning your portfolio into a thriving, scalable business? You're in the right place. Master your millions, own your legacy. Join us each week as we uncover strategies, share actionable insights, and help you take charge as CEO of your financial future. For the past 5 years, my portfolio has been generating over $200,000 a year in income. And up until recently, none of that income came from covered call ETFs. But that changed. I started selling some of my existing income assets and redeploying that capital into covered call ETFs. And as I went deep into the research, evaluating strategies, comparing funds, breaking down the tax structures, I found two things. One, these are one of the most interesting income vehicles available right now. And two, they're deeply misunderstood. Many people buying these funds don't actually know what they're getting. They just see a big yield number and assume that's what they're keeping. They don't know that the strategy a fund uses matters as much or more than the yield that it advertises. I'm Christopher Nelson, and in this video, I want to show you what most people miss when they start investing in covered call ETFs. Now, quick disclaimer, this is not investing advice. It's only for education, and I do personally own some of the covered call ETFs that I will be discussing today. Okay, before we go deeper, let's make sure everyone understands the mechanics, because if you don't get this part, none of the rest will make sense. Imagine you own 100 shares of Apple at $200 a share. You could just hold and wait for it to go up, or you could sell someone the right to buy your shares at $210 within the next 30 days. For giving them that right, they pay you a premium, let's say $3 a share. That's $300 in your pocket immediately. Now, if Apple stays below $210, that option expires worthless. You keep your shares and you keep the $300. If Apple goes above $210 a share, you sell at $210, you miss the gains above that, but you still kept the premium. And if Apple drops, you still have your shares and that $300 cushions the loss. A covered call ETF does this at scale. Hundreds of positions, systematic option selling, monthly income distribution. And that's the trade-off. You're converting market exposure into cash flow. This is an income tool, not a growth tool. If you understand that distinction, you're ahead of most people. Here's the first thing that most people miss. Not all covered call ETFs work the same way. The strategy each fund uses determines your return profile, your risk, and how much wealth you actually create, and the differences are dramatic. Now, there are four main approaches. Number one, OTM or out of the money. The fund sells call options above the current market price. So if the S&P is at 5,000, they're selling calls at maybe 5,150. That means that you keep some upside, typically 3 to 10%, before the calls kick in. You still collect premium income and you still get a yield in the 10 to 15% range, but you're not giving away everything. This is where funds like SPYI and QQQI operate. Now, number two, ATM or at the money. The fund sells calls right at the current price. Any move up, your shares get called away immediately. You get a higher premium, but you give up upside participation. Funds like QYLD and XYLD use this approach. In a flat or declining market, the bigger premium can actually cushion you better than OTM. In a strong bull market, you sit on the sidelines while the index runs. Number three, zero DTE or 0 days to expiration. These funds sell options that expire the same day, every single day. They generate massive premiums. We're talking 30 to 50% yields, but the capital erosion is brutal. A 45% yield sounds incredible until you realize the fund's share price dropped nearly 27%. The net result, about 11% total return. And a lot of that income was your own money being handed back to you. Number four, synthetic. These funds don't own the underlying stocks at all. Instead, they use derivatives, swaps, and structured notes to manufacture exposure, which introduces counterparty risk on top of market risk. Their structure allows them to advertise yields of 50 to 100% or more, but the distributions often exceed what the fund actually earns. Take a fund like MSTY in 2025. It distributed over 100% in yield, while the fund itself lost roughly 47% of its value. The high yield wasn't income. It was a return of capital dressed up as a monthly check. So here's the takeaway. Strategy types drive your return. A conservative out-of-the-money fund on the NASDAQ delivers nearly an 18% total return in a good year like 2024. A synthetic fund chasing triple-digit yields on a single volatile stock can lose half of its value in the same year. Same broad ETF category, way different outcomes. And one thing to keep in mind, these four approaches aren't separate buckets you pick from, they can stack. A synthetic zero DTE fund on a single volatile stock is combining three aggressive features at once. The more of those layered into one product, the more the yield is compensation for risk, not income that you can count on. Here's the second thing that most people miss. Yield tells you what you receive. It says nothing about what you keep. When I was doing my own research, I reviewed everything through the lens of Structured Tax Alpha. It asks a simple question. After fees, after taxes, after any changes to the share price, what did this fund actually put in my pocket? Let me show you two examples. First, QQQI versus TSLY. QQQI is a NASDAQ 100 covered call fund with an advertised yield around 14%. In 2024, it delivered around 17.7% total return while the share price grew modestly. Because it sells options on the NASDAQ index, which qualify for Section 1256 tax treatment, and because roughly 97% of its distributions are classified as return of capital, the effective tax rate lands in the low single digits. Because the fund's overall value went up, the return of capital acts as a pure tax shield, letting you defer taxes until you sell. Now look at TSLY, the Yield Max fund built on Tesla. Current yield is around 50%, and in the past, it has pushed triple digits. Sounds incredible, but TSLY doesn't use index options. It doesn't even own Tesla stock. It uses synthetic exposure through derivatives and structured notes. This means whatever portion of the distribution is taxable income gets taxed at your ordinary rate. Womp womp, 32 to 37% for most investors at this income level, not the preferential rate QQQI investors receive. Here's what people miss about return of capital. It is only a benefit if the fund is actually making money. A headline yield in the 50 to 100% range doesn't tell you what the fund earned. When a high volatility fund is dropping in value, that sky-high yield is often just the fund cannibalizing itself. You aren't earning 50%. The fund is simply handing your own shrinking principal back to you to manufacture the dividend. The investor doing the honest after-tax risk-adjusted math at the end of the year usually isn't far ahead as the yield number suggested. One fund gives you stable yield and a powerful tax shield. The other risks cannibalizing your investment while handing you a massive tax bill. Second, let's look at SPYI versus JEPI. Same market, both are S&P 500 income strategies. Yields are in the same range. SPYI around 12%, JEPI, J-E-P-I, around 7%, but they're built differently. SPYI sells options on the S&P 500 index, Section 1256, 60/40 tax treatment, and mostly return of capital. JEPI uses equity-linked notes. Those ELNs generate ordinary income at your marginal rate. So two funds doing similar things on the same market, very different after-tax outcomes. For a retiree in the 32% bracket, that gap can add up to thousands of dollars a year on a meaningful position. That's why I stopped paying attention to advertised yields. The numbers that matter is what you keep. And this brings me to what I call the yield trap test. Simple. When a fund distributes more than it earns, where do you think that extra money is coming from? Your principal. That's not income. That's a slow liquidation disguised as a monthly check. The third thing is the tax game. And honestly, it might be the most expensive thing people overlook. Not all cover call ETFs are taxed the same way. And the differences are not small. I'm going to simplify this into three buckets. Bucket one, tax efficient funds. These use structures that generate return of capital in Section 1256 treatment. The effective tax rate on distributions can land in the low single digits. Funds like SPYI, QQQI, IWMI, the framework suggests these are the most tax efficient in a taxable brokerage account because that's the account type where return on capital deferral and 60/40 treatment actually benefit you. Bucket two, ordinary income funds. These use something called equity-linked notes, ELNs. The option income gets taxed at your highest marginal rate, up to 37%. Funds like JEPI and JEPQ, the framework suggests these fit better in an IRA or a 401k where the tax-deferred wrapper shields the ordinary income treatment the fund structures create. Bucket three, the same structure but unmanaged. Funds like QILD use the same type of index options as bucket one, technically Section 1256 eligible, but the issuer doesn't actively manage for tax efficiency. So the character of what you received varies from year to year. In 2021, QILD's distributions were classified as 100% ordinary income. In other years, they've been largely return of capital. You have no way to predict in advance what the tax character will be. With these, annual review is part of the framework. Check the 1099 every year and be ready for the character shift. Now here's where it gets real. Let's say that you have $500,000 in cover call ETFs. If you put it all in JEPI in a taxable account at a 35% tax bracket, you're looking at roughly $14,000 a year in federal taxes on those distributions. If you split that differently, say $250,000 in SPYI in your taxable account and $250,000 in JEPI inside of your IRA, your current federal tax bill could drop as low as $1,500. That's potentially more than $10,000 back in your pocket. Same total investment, same funds, just different account placement. Of course, this is just an example and should not be taken as investing or tax advice. Your individual situation may vary. Now the last piece. When you actually build a cover call portfolio, one framework is to structure it like a building. Foundation first. Tier one is your core. 50 to 70% of your allocation. Here you're looking for broad market covered call ETFs on the S&P 500 and NASDAQ. They tend to be stable and predictable income producers. You can explore options like SPYI, GPIX, QQQI, and JEPI, just to name a few. Tier two, growth plus income, 20 to 35%. This is where you add diversification, small caps, international, emerging markets with a fund like IWMI, IDVO, QDVO, and ITWO are some to look at. Different market cycles and asset exposures can add resilience. Tier three is tactical. For most investors, this should be no more than 15% of your allocation, and only if you have a conviction. This is where something like an AI-focused fund or a Bitcoin covered call fund lives. These are volatile, and your income can swing by 30 to 50% year over year. So without a tier one foundation underneath, your income architecture has no ballast. Okay, let me leave you with five rules. Rule one. Match the strategy type to your market outlook. OTM preserves some upside, which matters in a rising market. ATM maximizes premium, which can matter in flat or declining markets. Neither is universally better. They're designed for different conditions. Rule number two, match your fund's tax structure to the right account. This is the single biggest after-tax lever most investors ignore. Rule three, run the yield trap. If the yield is higher than the total return over a long period of time, more than likely you're just getting your own money back. Rule number four, build in tiers. Tier one first, tier three last. And rule number five, focus on tax structured alpha. It matters what you keep, not what they advertise. Covered call ETFs are a powerful tool inside what I call the Evergreen model, a portfolio structure built to generate income without depleting your principal. But they're one piece of a larger income architecture. So if you have $1 million to $30 million in net worth and you want to learn how to build that full architecture, I'd love to have you at our next live workshop. It's a two-hour deep dive where you'll walk away with a legacy statement, an investment thesis, and a portfolio structure tailored to your goals. At the time of this recording, we've had over 2,000 people just like you come through this workshop. So head over to wealthops.io/go or click the link below this video to register. Our next workshop is likely just in a few days. Now, after you sign up, check out this video on the Evergreen portfolio model we go deep into in the workshop. Let's keep building.